You are listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And now, a documentary premiering at the Arlington International Film Festival tonight. It follows the lives of four African-born MIT students who are driven to study here and make change at home. Filmmaker Arthur Musa knows the story well. He came from Ghana 20 years ago to study at MIT in the hopes of doing the same. And Arthur joins us today in Studio 2. Arthur, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tiziana.
It's good to have you here. We also have on the line from Lowell Philip Abel Adama, a graduate of MIT and one of the students featured in the film. Philip, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Arthur, I'm going to begin with you. Something I often ask people who write books, too. Why? Why'd you make this film?
I made this film because I felt, having gone through the experience of studying in the U.S., and gone through a transformative experience, I felt like there were questions that were unanswered that I didn't know I would have after the experience. And so it was a way to kind of go back and answer those questions, or like look for answers, yes.
And how did you find Philip and the other students who come from, you know, Nigeria, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Rwanda? How did you find them?
Well, I reached out through the MIT admissions office. They couldn't give me their contact info, obviously, for privacy reasons. But they could forward an introductory email on my behalf. And then the participants or the students that were interested who'd been admitted that year and had accepted MIT's admission offer could reach out to me if, you know, if they wanted to participate or if it sounded like something they wanted to know more about. And so Philip was one of the people that reached back out, and we started talking on the phone and arranged to meet when he first landed at the airport at Boston Logan. And, you know, and then we kept filming for years.
So, Philip, you're making this journey. You're a kid. I mean, I see you on the film when you first start at MIT, and you're so young, and you're coming from so far. What made you decide to let this stranger track your story, and such a high-pressure story, Philip, as a young man taking responsibility for his whole family?
Absolutely. It's partly because I felt that my story was pretty incredible for the background that I was coming from to get into MIT and come to college here. Part of my motivation at the time was to say, okay, if there's any way I can document this to get the story out to other people from a similar background, that would be so great. So that was one of the motivations. Yeah, at the time.
Now, Philip, I think we think our stories are one thing, and as we get older, they change. Mm-hmm. When you came to MIT, what did you think your story was?
It felt to me at the time, pretty much, I thought it was just a miraculous kind of like story or experience, given that I came from an economically disadvantaged background at the time, and then getting into one of the top engineering schools in the world. My story pretty much felt like that of someone who was undergoing like immense positive change. So at that time, I was just pretty like hopeful that I'll be able to, you know, secure this degree and achieve my goals of changing the family story and whatnot.
And do you think that's your story now?
I think it's part of my story, yes. I've been able to do much more than I anticipated I would ever be able to do thanks to the MIT degree and like the experience I got from being able to work in the US and whatnot. So yes, it's the story is still evolving, but yes, it's pretty much played out the way I anticipated in that as a kid.
So we're speaking with Philip Abel Adama, a graduate of MIT now, from Nigeria, one of the four students featured in Arthur Musa's film, Brief Tender Light. It's already won one award for a new filmmaker. It'll premiere at the Arlington International Film Festival tonight. So Arthur, we're going to talk about Philip like he's not here for a minute. And I'm going to ask you, what was the story you were trying to tell with Philip?
Well, when I left Ghana, where I'm from, to come to MIT to study in the U.S., there was this story that was told pretty frequently, which is you have this incredible opportunity to go study at one of the best institutions in the world. You have to make it count for your home, your community, your country. And so a lot of African students and maybe international students take that story on and think we're going to deliver on that or are eager to deliver on that. But having gone through that experience, I knew it was more complicated than that, that, you know, there are pressures of individual backgrounds, that, you know, there are individual desires for our lives that might come in conflict with this community expectation. And so return, quote unquote, return takes different winding paths, and it's not as straightforward, and it's not as instant or as quick as we think it will be when we start this journey. And I also felt like there was, you know, a bit of a substantial competition for human capital or talent in the world. And in some ways, African countries just saying to their young people, go study abroad and come back, is not an adequate way to really compete on that global playing field. And so this film was a way to look at what was really happening. How does leaving your original home and going to a different part of the world shape who you are? What do you keep? What do you sacrifice? What do you gain in that process? And how do you figure out the balance between living for yourself versus your community?
So, Philip, I want to play a little sound from fairly early in the film. You are talking about your family, providing for your family, especially your mother. You're young, and you're talking about those pressures.
I don't like to see my mom cry. So each time I see her do that, I kind of feel like, Philip, you just have to struggle more. You just have to put in more effort so that your mom won't cry again. For me to rate the next 10 years as being successful, one of the major things that I would look on is my ability to change the story of my family.
Okay, so first, as a mother of an 18-year-old, if I heard my son say that to keep me from crying, what he had to do was work harder, I think I would die a little inside, Philip. Did you ever tell your mom that that's what you were doing? You were working harder and struggling more so she wouldn't cry?
Yes. My mom was always very open about the challenges she was facing raising my siblings and I. And so, in fact, she watched this documentary last week when I was in Nigeria, and it brought her to tears, really, because it's pretty much something she knows about. And it's not just me, even my siblings as well have used her as kind of like this reason to be driven and be motivated and to want to do better.
One of the things that struck me in your story specifically, Philip, is you keep coming back in your story to the struggles that you face that are, to the viewer, harder than the other students face because of the poverty you explicitly come from. It's hard. Your family doesn't come to graduation because they can't get the visa in and has to do with the fact that they don't own land. You get a job at Akamai and you can't keep it because you don't get your work permit and you have to go back to graduate school. You're studying like crazy, but you're also working because you're sending remittances back. That is a remarkable extra level of effort. And MIT is hard. One of the other students fails a physics class in their first semester because it's so hard. How did you hold yourself together?
To be honest, it was pretty tough. Like when I look back at it, it's just this thing where the mentality for me has always been just to do whatever is humanly possible to, like, you know, power through obstacles. So it was just that mentality that got me through and being able to sort of be in an environment where I could rely on my friends. I was at this international house in Boston called MIT Student House that was pretty pivotal to my MIT experience in terms of being this place where I could get support from other students who were kind of like me, where they had to send remittances back home, do all those different things in addition to just studying. So being in that environment really helped. It helped from the perspective of my cost of living was much lower than people who were on campus. Student house rent was significantly lower. So I could, out of that, you know, save some money to send back home. So there were all these different things that I had to do a bit differently from the typical MIT student in terms of, okay, landing this job that I needed in the early, first few weeks so that I could send money home, finding cheaper housing in Boston, living in kind of like this community where the house provided food. And so we didn't have to do much to feed ourselves and so on. So all these different things played together in helping me cope with, you know, the pressure of sending money home, supporting family while also studying.
So that
part of studying, I had no choice. Like I was dedicated to doing that no matter what. Yeah.
So what resonates in my head, Arthur Musso, you're the director of Brief Tender Light, the film that's premiering at the Arlington International Film Festival tonight. It's a documentary. Back in January, we spoke with new MIT president Sally Kornbluth, along with the provost, Cynthia Barnhart, and Chancellor Melissa Nobles, about their vision for student and faculty experience now at the university. And of course, you're 20 years ago. Philip is several years ago. Now we're looking at now. Chancellor Nobles talked about the importance of supporting students, you know, their mental health, their well-being as they navigate tumultuous times in their lives and in the world. Here she is.
The world in which we're living is upheaval. We can only feel so comfortable about our efforts because there's tons of disruption. And part of our job is trying to help them on the one hand negotiate that disruption, grow up, which is itself disruptive, right? Then think about the environment in which we're living, which is more volatile than perhaps we would like, and to thrive.
And I thought about that as you tell your own story, right? Your story of being a young black man from Ghana who comes out as gay and is in a volatile world searching for home. Here's a little bit of sound actually from you.
College in America became my escape. But where is home when in one option for home you're not safe for being gay and in another you're not safe for being black?
So you tell this modern story. What do you want us to do when we're done watching it?
That's a big question. But I think the film makes an argument for increasing belonging for all kinds of people in different parts of the world. You know, especially in the quote that we just heard, I think what I was synthesizing was this observation after my years in the U.S. that there are some common roots to issues both in the U.S. and in Africa. So as a gay man, you know, I'm aware of the homophobia in Ghana and elsewhere. There's an anti-LGBTQ bill that's being pushed through parliament that's endangering a lot of lives right now. But that homophobia and the queerphobia is actually has its roots in the colonial legacy that Africa, Ghana and elsewhere in Africa has experienced. And then the racism in America that also endangers people of color and devalues people of color and makes us feel like we don't really fully belong, also has its roots in that colonial history. And so if we look at that commonality, maybe the solutions are also similar. You know, through watching the film and through looking at the stories of five different people, we can come to understand people that maybe we see all the time, but we don't really get to know. And so through the film, we get to know them a little bit and recognize ourselves in them. And through that, increase belonging for people that don't necessarily look like us at the onset.
Philip, we've just been telling stories earlier in this show about students who come from different parts of the world and are worried and in pain now. What do you want people to know most who watch this film?
Yes. So what I would like them to know is that at the end of the day, being in a place like the U.S. opens a lot of doors. I think I'm trying to make sure I frame the answer properly. Could you repeat the question?
Just what do you want students, people to know when they watch this film? What do you want them to take away?
Honestly, it will be pretty plain things like how much hard work and perseverance pays and how much one needs to have an open mind when they come into a new environment to just adapt, you know, face reality and like never give up on like their original goal. And so like for me, concretely, coming into MIT, even though I faced a lot of obstacles, I was still very, very focused on what brought me here. And so I would like people to be able to at least see that, relate with that, and use that to motivate themselves regardless of whatever they're experiencing today.
Philip Abel Adama graduated from MIT. He's one of four students featured in the film Brief Tender Light. Arthur Musa is the director. It premieres at the Arlington International Film Festival tonight at the Lexington venue. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.